Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it is so good to be back in studio with you.
Studio B, as I call it. Love it. No place like it. It's like home.
Yeah, there you go. In many ways it is. And a whole lot easier to record in here than remotely over the internet. I appreciate you and our listeners being patient with me as my family had to go through some quarantine. But we are back and feeling good, and it is good to be reflecting on a very good sermon, very powerful series that you have been going through on Sunday mornings on the same page with God. Such an important concept. This past Sunday, you talked about being on the same page with God about worship. But before we dive into that, why don't you give us kind of the idea of the series and where you've been so far?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different opinions in life about lots of subjects. I mean, if we were to ask our listeners, please email us. Don't do this. I'm just using an illustration. But please email us your favorite restaurant. We may not get two of the same answer. Everyone has a difference. Who's the best team? What's the best movie? What's your favorite song? Everybody has different opinions. And that carries over into religion, where people think, well, I worship God the way I like to worship God. I do what I think is right, and everything is just fine. But as we began our series, we began with this idea that God is absolute, and he has all authority. And you and I can differ, you and I can get along with different opinions, but we must be on the same page with God. We have to see eye to eye with God. And when there's a difference, it's not God who has to move, it's me that has to move. And so that was our first lesson. Our second lesson talked about the valuable lesson of salvation, being on the same page with God about salvation. And as we said in that lesson, if we mess that up, we're not going to make it. We have to, because God is the one who saves. The church doesn't save. People don't save. Only God can save. And so I have to be right with God, see eye to eye with him on salvation. That led to this lesson this past Sunday about worship. Worship is a major, major theme in the Bible. From the early pages in the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, we find people of God worshiping him. And we find all through the scriptures people who've misunderstood worship or were not on the same page. And when we think about Aaron's golden calf or the prophets of Baal and the things that they were doing, there's lots of examples of people who were worshiping, but they weren't worshiping as God has wanted them to. So in this lesson, what we're driving at is seeing worship as God wants us to see it.
If any of our listeners have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen, that is freely available at charlestownroad.org. Not just this past Sunday's sermon, but the entire series so far. Here in the middle of the week, as we often do, we want to go back and maybe just dig a little deeper into a small cross-section of the sermon. We could very easily spend a lot of time looking at various principles. You talked about how worship is defined by God. Worship has a direction. But I thought for today's episode, it would be good to dig in a little deeper to one of your points. Worship is an action on my part. You took us back to Psalm 34, verse 3, where David invites, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Worship is an action. And I am individually responsible for that. But of course, one of the beautiful principles behind this, as defined by God, is that I do this with others, brothers and sisters in Christ. We approach the throne of God together. We engage our hearts and our minds and our bodies together. And so I thought maybe we would just think, okay, before the assembly even begins, all the way through the assembly to even after the assembly, worship is an action on my part. So
let me jump in right there and just remind our listeners as we thought about that sermon is that worship most times in the New Testament is a verb.
Yeah.
And verbs are things you do. And unlike other areas of our life, we can be spectators. We watch TV. We watch a ball game. We watch a movie. We sit there and we are entertained or we're taught. Worship is something that we participate in. We do. And so it is so unlike so many other things we do. And so when we come to worship, that's a mindset we have to have. When we come to worship, it involves me. And I have to be the giver, or my worship will not be as God wants it to be.
Absolutely. So what about before I ever join the assembly? How can I be prepared to offer my best to God?
You know, there's a great Psalms that talks about this. It's Psalms 100, and I want to read. It's a real short psalm, but it's kind of the way it's written as the people of Israel are going towards Jerusalem, and they were required 3 times a year to go to Jerusalem to the temple and to worship. And before they even get there, they are in a mindset of worshiping God. We might call this today the pregame or the tailgate, as we think about that in football terms. And the idea that what I do before I get there can help or can ruin my worship. So Psalms 100 simply reads this: shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now just in those first few verses, you can see as the group is walking along, mom, dad, and kids, and just a whole bunch of people, somebody just go in there in verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord. And then one by one, people just start giving us expressions of who God is. He's holy. He's righteous. He's awesome. He's merciful. We get to verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's as if now they're at the doorway of Jerusalem. They're walking through the gates. And his courts with praise. That sounds like they're at the temple compound itself. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. So there's the idea, as the people were heading toward Jerusalem to worship, they were thinking about the Lord and worshiping. So put that in our terms today. Everybody has their own routine. I don't turn the TV on Sunday mornings. I mean, the world could be falling apart, and you know what? I'm going to go worship God. I don't want the world in my mind as I go to worship God. I don't read the newspaper Sunday morning. You know, a lot of people do, and it's not wrong if you do, but I want a mindset of the Lord. When you're in your car and you're driving to the church building, it's a great time for just throw in a CD, or mom, dad, and the kids start singing some hymns together. It's a great way to go through some basic Bible drills with the kids. Just go through the books of the Bible, or just start talking about some of the Bible story. What you're doing is you're getting your mind wakened up.
Yeah,
I'm going to worship God. And lots of things you can do. One of the worst things you can do is just kind of roll out of bed, be half asleep, fill your mind with worldly stuff, worldly music, and then walk into worship. And then somehow, about halfway through the worship, you flip that switch and you're now spiritually thinking. You've already lost half of worship.
Yeah.
And so what you do ahead of time can sure make a big difference.
Even as early as Saturday evening. Talking perhaps as a family about what we're going to do tomorrow, making sure that we get as much as depends on us a good night's sleep, right? Sunday morning worship in many respects is a Saturday night decision, right? Making sure that we are in the frame of mind that tomorrow, as we so often say around here, is the best day of the week.
And I would recommend to moms and dads, especially if you've got little ones, get their outfits laid out on Saturday. Find the shoes. Find the Bibles. I mean, sometimes people are running around and they can't find one of the shoes. Where's the Bible? And it's just, you come down there and you're already stressed out and you're worn out.
Maybe arguing with each other.
Arguing with each other. And that is a hard way to present your heart to God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things you can do.
So let's think in terms of the assembly. As Scripture is read, we begin our Sunday morning assemblies here at Charlestown Road with a reading from the Book of Psalms. And of course, Scripture is read throughout our assemblies. If worship is an action on my part, what can I be doing to worship as Scripture is being read?
Let me read you this passage from Nehemiah 8. Now, we don't do this very often, but I love what it says. It says, Nehemiah 8, verse 5, Ezra opened a book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up.
Yeah.
They were respecting that. So God's word is read. One of the first things I can do is get my Bible, get it open to where the passage is, and start reading along. It's real easy to just look at verses on the screen. Nothing wrong with that. We do that to help people out, but that can become the habit. And bring your Bible, and if it's electronic, get it there and have it ready. And listen. Listen as it's read. Look at the words as being read. Follow along. Notice things. And, you know, that, you know, I'm a believer in the printed Bible more than the electronic. Nothing's wrong with electronic, but what I like about the printed Bible is I can circle things, I can underline things, I can write things there, and they're going to be there, and they'll always be there, and I'll know that.
Yeah, just a practical suggestion. If you do use a phone or a tablet to read God's Word, as you said, Roger, nothing wrong with that. But take the time to turn notifications off. I mean, by default, our phones are designed, if we're not intentional about it, to just constantly be notifying us of things. And I'm not as concerned about the dinging, the actual sound. Obviously, we need to silence those as possible, but just the sucking of our attention. If I'm getting a notification from ESPN about a game that's just about to kick off at noon, and Facebook notifies me of someone that commented on a post that I made last night, and on and on and on it goes, it is awfully hard to have that present and to give God and His Word my undivided attention.
And what you're describing is distractions.
Yeah.
And there are lots of distractions. Sometimes where you sit in a building, you may have to make adjustments because of distractions. So, you know, I've always sat real close to the front. And the reason is I don't want anybody in front of me. I want to focus on what's up in front, and I don't want to be distracted. Nothing wrong with where you sit in the building. But if you sit back there and you notice who's in, who's out. I've had a lady one time tell me, she goes, did you see how many times so-and-so went in and out? And I said, no. But I wanted to say to her, did you notice God was among us? You know, you're noticing people. Are you noticing God? And again, that's something we're talking about here. Your phones can be distractions. Your tablets can be distractions. Watching other people can be distractions. And what happens is you've gone to church, but you haven't worshiped.
Yeah.
And what we're driving at is being on the same page as we worship God.
So what about as the congregation is singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? If action is involved in my worship, what do I need to be doing?
Well, the first thing you do is you sing. You sing, and you look at those words, and those words have a lot of depth. They had a lot of comfort there, and there's a lot of teaching. Both Ephesians and Colossians talks about teach one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is the opportunity for you to teach. The only one who's teaching is not the preacher, but it's all of us as we're singing to one another. We sing that invitation song. This is not the time, this is not the 2-minute warning and you get everything together and put your coat on and put everything in your bags and get ready to leave. You're inviting somebody to do what you've already done. That's come to Jesus Christ. And so what you do is you look at those words. You look within your heart. A lot of our songs ask questions. A lot of our songs are kind of warnings. Some of our songs are full of hope, and a lot of our songs are about heaven. So you sing these songs, and you just lose yourself in those songs. And I remember years ago, a man in our congregation, when I was preaching somewhere else, he had to have a long MRI, and you're not supposed to move. And, you know, he was wondering how he's going to get through it. He said during that process, he just started singing hymns and singing hymns and singing hymns. And the next thing you know, it was over. He says, well, I'm not done yet with my hymns. And that's just a wonderful thing. And what you do is you start finding yourselves throughout the week singing these hymns, and that will help you.
Yeah. It is amazing, singing, its ability to implant things deep in our hearts, that even as someone perhaps in their latter years of life can't recall various things and has struggled with doing things that they've done all of their lives, but you sit them down and they can remember hymns that they have been singing all of their lives. That is not only special, but a special means of glorifying God. What about as a brother is leading the assembly in prayer?
Yeah, when someone's doing a public prayer, they're praying in behalf of all of us. You know, he's not just praying about himself personally. He's praying in behalf of all of us. So what you do is you include yourself. When he's praying for the sick, now he may not name the name. Sometimes he might, but he may not name the name specifically who's sick. But you run through that list in your mind. Oh, well, I know these people are sick. He may pray for the lost and not say their names, but you know folks in your family, in your life, that you would like to see become Christians. You say their names. You pray with him so that when we get to the end, we say amen. Amen does not mean it's over. Amen means so be it. Amen means I agree with what was said. It's hard to say amen when I haven't paid attention. And so you pray along with it. You pray as if you're praying that prayer yourself. And you're thanking the Lord, and you're inviting the Lord, and you're asking the Lord, and you're seeking help on behalf of this congregation. What a great church this is. And we need leadership, and we need guidance, and we need to be faithful, and lots of powerful prayers that can be prayed. You engage in that yourself.
Yeah. Obviously, all of us need to be people of prayer throughout the week. But how special when we pause and think about what's going on, that I and a couple hundred other people are all addressing the God who hears together in this moment. Such a powerful idea. What about as the word is preached? You mentioned not being a spectator. So here is a brother up there preaching. Is my listening a part of my worship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're going to be connected with him, and you're going to go with him, and you're going to be engaged with him. I mean, this, you know, the preacher puts so much effort into his sermons. I know this because that's what I do. And, you know, you don't write a sermon in 5 minutes because it will show you've written in 5 minutes. You put your life into it, and you pour out the best you can think as about that. But as much as we want the preacher to be prepared, the audience has to be prepared. And so I need to come ready to listen. I'm come willing to learn that, you know, he's going to show me some things. Now, I may go over a passage I've heard 1,000 times. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. I have heard that so many times. We think I could tell you that with my eyes closed. Open your heart. You'll probably find something you have never thought of before.
Yeah.
And put yourself in that story. Put yourself in the shoes of that prodigal. Put yourself in the shoes of that father. Put yourself in the shoes of that elder brother. So many layers of lessons that you can learn there. Again, as we said with the reading of scriptures, get your Bible out. There'll be things you want to underline, things you want to write down, things you want to remember. I'm a firm believer in taking notes.
Absolutely.
You know, years ago, they used to say, you remember so much of what you hear. You remember more what you hear and see. That's why we use PowerPoint. You remember even more what you hear, you see, and you write. And that's why we have note cards. And so in this congregation, we have note cards. Fill in the blank. We'll get those and write those. And when those are done, don't put them in the trash. Get a little file system. File that away. And you'll find them surfacing up again. Here's a class. I'm going to pull these out. I'm going to do an invitation. I'm going to pull that out. This is tools to help me learn. And again, it's not just lecture, but it's helping me become what God wants me to be.
Yeah. So in our church family, over the course of the last year, obviously a variety of adjustments have been made. One adjustment we made to our assembly is the last thing that we have the opportunity to do as we walk out of the auditorium is to give back, to contribute. What about that? Is that also a part of my worship?
It is. It is. It's part of our fellowship. Paul would use that word fellowship when he talked about the Corinthians supporting and the Philippians supporting him. And so it is a part of my worship because in our times, as in all times, it takes money to do things. This very podcast, it takes money to do this. It takes money to have the building the way it is. It takes money to print material. It takes money to put things out on live stream. And so there's volumes of things. But when I contribute, I'm saying that I believe in this. And when I contribute, I'm saying I want this to continue. I want this to grow. I want the kingdom of God to go worldwide. And in congregations like this congregation, that's exactly what's happening. I mean, we're reaching people all over the planet every single day. And so your contribution helps that. You may never stand in a pulpit. You may never write something that's printed and passed on. But your contribution makes that possible. And what it does, it's a team effort. Not one of us can do it all, but together we can do so much.
Last one here. So, okay, on Saturday night, I started thinking about what was going to happen on Sunday morning. I got down to the church building. I participated in all of the worship assembly. And now I walk out into the parking lot and my worship is done, right?
No.
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 So what about after the assembly?
Well, you know, and we brought this up earlier in that lesson, is that worship is really twofold. One is what we do together. And sometimes that's how we completely define our worship. When we come down to the church house, we worship. When I leave, I'm done. So when I go to work, I go to the office building. When I leave the office building, I'm done with work. I go to school, I go to the school building. When I leave school building, I'm done with school. That's how we generally think of things. But worship is also individual. Every single day of my life, I need to be worshiping God. I need to be thankful before I eat food. I ought to be prayerful throughout my day. I ought to be singing hymns just to get my mind and my spirit and to praise God as he needs to be. And so after the worship, what I do is I reflect. I reflect about the songs. I reflect about the prayers. I reflect about the sermon. Great conversation over Sunday lunch is to talk to one another about the lesson. Talk to them about the prayers and not the negative stuff. Well, you know, that guy missed this and guy didn't do that right. But the positive things. You know, boy, I didn't know that about that passage. Or did you see that story, how powerful that story is? This is what I got out of the lesson. And you share that with family members, and that can just enrich the service even more. Help it store in your mind. I mean, to most of us, there's a sermon or two that we can think back 10, 20, 50, or 30 years. We've heard that sermon, and that sermon has stayed with us. There was something about that.
Yeah, yeah. Worship is an action on my part. Again, if you did not have the opportunity to listen or to watch, charlestownroad.org, we would love to have you study this powerful series right along with us. It's done me good, powerful reminders that I needed to hear, and we want everyone to realize how important it is that we are on the same page with God about worship. Roger, it is Wednesday, and you've got one more lesson in your series on Joseph. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up this evening and kind of put that to bed, but it's not going to go to bed because it stays with us. That's what we're talking about in this. And we're going to talk about the reflections from the life of Joseph tonight. There's a passage in Genesis 50 that we see that's repeated throughout scriptures. And we're gonna chase that through the lives of several people. His brothers meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And then we're gonna kind of look at that expression and see how God can take something that's evil and make good out of it. And then we're going to kind of wrap the series up by some final things we learned about Joseph.
We are very, very excited about this coming Sunday morning. I've got the opportunity to preach. Our theme for the year is Rise and Build. We've spent 3 months essentially talking about the building aspect of that phrase. I want to talk about that first word, the powerful word rise, and reflect on how our God has the amazing ability to help people rise in a variety of different ways. But also, Roger, this is a Sunday we have been waiting for a very long time. We are excited, Lord willing, to get back to our Bible classes for all ages.
We haven't done that for a year, and we've just been kind of pulling layers back a little bit at a time, slowly doing things, keeping aware of the social distancing and all the health things we're supposed to be doing. But this Sunday, we're going to be having classes for all ages, and we're real excited about some things we're going to be doing along that line. We'll be offering 2 adult classes on Sunday morning, and want to welcome you to come and to worship with us and to grow with us as we continue to rise and build with God.
What about at 5 o'clock p.m.?
5 o'clock, I'll be wrapping up this series on the Same Page. And in our final lesson, we're going to talk about On the Same Page with God on Law and Order. And we're going to kind of talk about responsibilities and consequences and some things that God says there.
So many things to look forward to. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight. We would love to see you at 7 o'clock p.m. Looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.